God called Jonah. God called Jonah. Jonah ran away. God caught up with him. From what we looked at the last couple of weeks, I kind of get the sense that Jonah didn't really willingly pray whilst he was on deck on the ship. It seems to me that it was when he hit the water that he called out to God. And we did ask that question, why is it that so often we wait until the very, very, very last moment before we cry out to God? Why? We're running away from him. We're on the ship. The storm's all around us. Why do we find it so hard to repent and call out to him? He called out to God when he was in the water. God rescued him. God sent a fish. The fish scooped him up and deposited him on a shore. Now, here's a thing. We don't actually know where, what shore he was deposited on. We don't actually know whether, having been in the fish and then being taken to shore, we don't know whether he is now nearer or further away from Nineveh. And yet, in a sense, how far he is, geographically speaking, is less important than how close he is to obeying the call of God on his life. And for all of us, really, obeying the call of God on our lives isn't about geography. It's about our hearts, right? Are we willing to obey him? So we have to ask the question, will Jonah obey God moving forward? Well, we will find out. Let me ask you another question. Would you like to meet one of the world's greatest evangelists? You wouldn't. No one wants to. You would, of course you would. You'd love to meet one of the world's greatest evangelists. Believe it or not, despite his track record so far, as we look in Jonah part 3, we find that actually Jonah turns out to be one of the world's best ever evangelists. Now that is weird. The guy who was called by God, ran away when the pressure was on and it was obvious that he couldn't run away. Rather than repent, he hid under the duvet. That's what it says in the Bible. He was lying down in the ship asleep. The pagans around him couldn't even get it. Said, why are you sleeping? Call out to your God. Maybe, just maybe, we still have a chance. Why? And this Jonah who ran away and tried to hide, we're going to see in Jonah chapter 3, he is used by God. He becomes an amazing messenger for God. Before we look at Jonah right now, do you remember we talked about Moses? Was it last week or the week before? We talked about Moses and we compared Moses' response to God calling him and Jonah's response to God calling him. Both were called to do things that they did not really want to do. Both felt that perhaps they weren't the right person for the job. And Moses uses that wonderful phrase. He says, Lord, pardon me. Please send someone else. How many of us feel like Moses at times? But before he said to the Lord, please send someone else, he actually said this. It's in Exodus chapter 4. He says, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue. Get this clear. Let's get this clear. This is Moses talking to God, right? And we're comparing him with Jonah. Moses said to God, I'm not really the person to be your messenger because I'm slow of speech and tongue. But I think we have to ask a question. Who ever said that an evangelist, a messenger of God, needs to use lots of words? Why do we assume that a messenger of God needs to be a smooth talker? Why do we imagine that someone used by God has to have what we call the gift of the gab? You see, sometimes, perhaps many times, the most effective witness that any of us can be to our Savior, to our Jesus, is when we, the people of God, utter perhaps just a few faltering words. God calls us to speak, and at times we don't know what the outcome will be, and at times we even feel kind of like we've got butterflies. And maybe as we speak those words, those few faltering words, we even kind of thinking, this is weird. Is it really me saying these words about my Jesus? And yet as we do, and when we do, God can use our faltering words, our weakness. You see, I think that if we imagine that God's going to use great speakers, great talkers, those who've got the gift of the gab, we might be losing the point. Let's have a look at Jonah, part 3. Jonah, chapter 3. I'll read to you from verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their ways, their evil ways, and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Are you ready this morning to go to Nineveh with Jonah? Let's go. In verse 1, we are told that God said to Jonah, he said, go. He was told, go. And the first act of obedience for Jonah was to go. There would be no point Jonah saying, I'll obey part two and part three, if he hadn't have obeyed part one. Go. He is told, go and proclaim. He can't proclaim unless he goes. And when he goes, well, there's no point going if he then doesn't proclaim. But what is he going to proclaim? So many of us in a situation like this, we decide we want to give our thoughts, our ideas. But Jonah was told very clearly, go proclaim the message that I give you. Go proclaim the message that God gives you. It's like he's being told, don't present your own ideas. Don't water down the message I give you. Don't try and sweeten the message I give you. Just proclaim the message that God gives you. And in verse 3 we read, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Despite his track record, Jonah obeyed. Jonah went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through the city. 3 days to go right the way through the city. I'm trying to get in my mind some idea how we can relate to this ourselves. How big was Nineveh? What sort of place would take 3 days to walk through? And, well, if you look in Jonah chapter 4, just turn over the page, just briefly. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, we read that there were more than 120,000 people living in Nineveh at the time. And also, you'll notice, also many animals as well. Presumably, people had their house and they had space for the animals, you know, their livestock and so on nearby. So, how big is Nineveh? How big is 120,000 people and their animals? Now, obviously, I could give it to you in kilometers or miles or whatever, but that doesn't really relate to us. So, I thought to myself, how many people live in Bracknell Town, not Bracknell Forest? Shout out, come on, Gareth, you must know. Bit more? According to the website that I found. 60, bit more? 77, you were very close. I mean, if you just go up in little bits, you will get close. So 77,000 people, 256 according to whatever I found. I think it's back from 2015, so it's a bit out of date anyway. What about Bracknell Forest? The whole, you know, that's all the surrounding areas as well. How many people live in Bracknell Forest? 150. You're a bit over the top, Trevor. Not 120, you're close. It's actually 118,982. Well, that's pretty close to 120,000. I mean, there's only about 1,000 difference between Bracknell Forest and Nineveh. Right? Say again? What, here in Great Hollands? Well, I don't know if you count all the people's pet rabbits and guinea pigs and everything. We might have a few. But yes. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be no more. What did we say earlier about messengers? We said an evangelist does not need to use lots of words. A servant of the Lord does not need to be a smooth talker. We said that we do not need the gift of the gab to be used by God. We said sometimes the most effective witness is when the people of God utter a few faltering words, perhaps wondering what the consequence will be, but knowing that God has called them to say those words. And we have got Jonah walking through the city of Nineveh. And he just says the words he's been given by God. How long is his message? It's very short. Has he sweetened the message? Not at all. Has he watered it down? Not at all. He just says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Perhaps Jonah could hardly believe he was actually now saying those words. But you see, God had said to him, go, proclaim the message that I will give you. Jonah was not being called to present his own ideas. He wasn't being called to water down the message. He was just called to go to proclaim the message that God gave him. Now the question is, did it work? Did he have success? Well, we'll read on, verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. He said, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. So we ask the question, was Jonah the evangelist successful? I think he was. I think he was very successful. The people of Nineveh repented. And surely this is the goal of evangelism. The goal of evangelism is not to make the message of God somehow culturally convenient. And yet, don't we try and do that? We try to make the message of God culturally convenient. The purpose of evangelism is to shake the culture of the day and to encourage people to turn to God. But hang on a minute, you may say. The people repented, all well and good, but did God take any notice of their repentance? Well, that is a very good point. If the people repented but God ignored them, it would have been a failure. But let's have a look. Let's read on verse 10. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did and how they turned from their evil ways, isn't that a definition of repentance? Turning from their evil ways, turning to God. He relented and he did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Yes, God did take notice. The people of Nineveh, they heard the word of God. They repented and they were saved. And what I'd like to do as we close our message this morning, I want to look again at a passage we looked at a few weeks ago when we were in Jonah part 1. And this is from Romans chapter 10. You see, the people of Nineveh, they repented because they heard the message of God. They heard it loud and clear. They heard it in ways that they could understand. They heard it delivered in the way that God had commanded his servant to deliver it. God had said, go, proclaim the message God gives you. And you see, when people hear the message, they do then have the opportunity to turn to God and to repent. Look, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's why it was so right that Jonah went and did not water down the message. He went, people repented, and they were saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But I love this argument here in Romans because it kind of breaks down and says, well, but how's this going to work? How can people call on God? How can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And the writer to the Romans then says, quoting Old Testament scripture, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You see, it's really not about the messenger. It is not about how eloquent they are. It's not about how many years they've spent studying theology. It's all about spending time in communion with God, talking to God, listening to Him, reading His Word, worshipping Him, and being prepared to pass on His message to the people we are called to. And now, what do you think about Jonah? We had all the different pictures of his face, different, you know, as Gladys and Anna were showing us. Now that the people of Nineveh have repented, presumably Jonah's going to join them. Perhaps they're going to, you know, he's going to say, oh, I'll pop around your place and we'll worship God together and we'll celebrate, maybe do sort of Great Holland Star, do some sandwiches and cupcakes and stuff maybe. Is that what Jonah said? We'll see next week. I mean, surely he must have been so pleased to have been used by God. Yeah? Well, we'll see next week. We'll have a look in Jonah part 4 next week. But listen, if you want to, read ahead when you get home. In fact, I want to encourage everyone, just read the book of Jonah. It takes half an hour to read through chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Maybe read it a few times, you know, on different days. Read it and ask God to speak to you through this book. Because I just think there's a bit of Jonah in all of us.